This morning we continue our reading of the story of the early church from the book of Acts, reading this morning from chapter 16. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Through these words, God's voice is heard. Let us pray. Gracious God, there is a melody that rings in our heart, and the melody is one of love and grace. We are so thankful, God, that when times are dark, when times are challenging, that melody of love continues to sing in our hearts, that we continue to offer our praise to you so that we might be strengthened and ready to serve you anew. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. So I returned last weekend from my annual Festival of Homiletics this year in Minneapolis, and you have to know that a preaching conference that anyone would call a festival has to be full of nerds who like to spend morning, afternoon, and evening listening to an endless cycle of lectures and sermons. But we do love it. And most of the learning that happens during that week away is not something that can easily be shared in a concrete way. I mean, often you pick up subtle hints on style. Other times you simply gain strength and renewed passion for carrying out your own work through the passion of the presenters. But every now and then there are things that hit you in a profound way that you really want to share. For me this time, I was struck by how almost every preacher and lecturer drew our attention to the tension between our work and witness as Christians and the political environment in which we carry out our work. Now remember, while hundreds of us attend this conference from Canada and even from as far away as Australia, the majority are from the U.S., as are all but one of the presenters. But it struck me that there is no shying away from the issues raised by the political environment of the day that we as preachers are called to address. Because of our adherence to one who loves without reserve, who displays an inclusive, welcoming passion for all people, especially for the downtrodden and depressed, we are called to challenge systems and structures that call us away from our Lord. A far cry, I might add, from our polite notion that religion and politics should never mix. But let's look for just a moment at the book of Acts, from which we've been reading stories of the early church over the past few weeks. There is no doubt at all that the allegiance of the early followers to Jesus called them time and time again to go head to head with the Roman authorities. Hardly a chapter goes by in Acts that someone isn't being called to task for preaching a gospel that calls allegiance away from Rome to another empire, one of love and compassion and grace. And so that has raised for me the question about what our place is as a Canadian Christian church in the midst of today's political environment. Long gone are the days when our United Church moderator would simply call up the Prime Minister and offer advice on the affairs of state. And I learned, I can tell you, really early on in my ministry that if I was going to tackle any issue seen as having political undertones, I better be prepared for the criticism and the backlash. So, something for us to think about as we become more and more aware of decisions being made that call into question basic human rights that we have come to understand as sacred. But a second and equally important reminder I had at this year's conference was that of the importance of music in our life of faith. Now, again, remember, this is a U.S. conference, and there is a wide representation from Southern Black Christians for whom hymns often reflect the reality of their history as those once enslaved and still often imprisoned by racial prejudice and oppression. I tell you, when you sing at those conferences, you feel the power of both the words and the music. We experienced everything from black gospel to bluegrass to several magnificent organ recitals on organs whose specifications I forget, but organs that would make ours look like a little play toy, I guess. And I was reminded, as I was, of course, looking ahead to this service, of how music not only defines and gives voice to our faith, but how it strengthens and comforts our soul in times of struggle and despair. In our reading from Acts today, when Paul and Silas are beaten, thrown into prison, feet fastened in stocks, what do we find them doing at midnight? Praying and singing hymns. Now, I think I've come to know most of you pretty well, and I think I can safely say, like me, that if we found ourselves in that situation, we'd be plotting our revenge or our escape or both. But here they are, beaten, flogged, imprisoned, at midnight, praying and singing hymns to God. There is something about singing hymns that is good for the soul. The psalmist reminds us that the singing of hymns, the reciting of poetry, is not just for times when we are filled with joy, but also and perhaps especially for times when all in our world seems turned upside down, when hope seems diminished, when darkness enfolds us, That's especially when lifting our voices in song brings a healing that we can't otherwise find in the midst of our despair. And so my message to you today comes from my experience during that week of worship and learning with a few thousand colleagues. But it comes also from a lifetime of singing my way through challenge and change. Stand firm in what you believe. Like the early Christians, challenge those systems and structures in our world that do not mesh with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because if the church does not stand up for all that is good and just and right in this world, then who will? As Matthew Skinner, a New Testament scholar and professor of New Testament at Luther Seminary, says, the book of Acts does not describe churches as communities passing their time in a holding pattern. The communities move, expand, and endure. Acts depicts churches as living expressions and embodiments of God's salvation. Acts was written to remind Christian audiences where they came from and why they exist, so they could understand their purpose and carry out that purpose for the long haul. So even in the midst of our own concerns about the future of the Christian church today, we must continue to be proactive in spreading the gospel in word and deed and song. And remember always the healing and soothing power of music. Fill your life with songs of praise. Sing to God in your deepest darkness and in your times of most profound joy. Music speaks from the soul in a way that sometimes words cannot. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.